It's a great privilege. I just quickly want to explain why we are going to have a HQ visit this week. Every year we come around to all the churches, and I've got the privilege to be part of the team, to be able to help them more effectively. So we go around, and then we do even a questionnaire. We get some feedback from the pastors in the region, and then we make sure to help them in the areas that they still need some help. And then also, what is important is that we make sure that we are prophetically aligned. And that's probably the most important thing. In the times that we are living now, it's important that we do exactly what Christ wants us to do. So the measurement is not having nice stuff here in front, and, you know, have great church services, but to be obedient to Christ. And that is the measurement that we will measure ourselves according to. So myself, I'm at the HQ headquarters, which is not part of the Stellenbosch congregation, but in itself is at Oudtshoorn Molen. And we serve the other shofar churches, which we have about 32 of now, and a lot of network churches as well. Churches that has the desire just to connect with the bigger body and to connect with where God is busy going. So, yeah, it's awesome to see what God is doing all over the country. And even we went to London just about a month and a half ago. And we had an awesome time there with Yaku and the rest of the team in London. And excited about what God is busy doing. But I can tell you one thing, that times are really changing. And the gap for the gospel is becoming lesser and lesser at this moment as we speak. It's very evident that those who stand for Christ is making a big stance. But those who is not willing to step out and to be aligned to what Christ is busy doing, because it is exciting to see what Christ is busy doing, they are falling along the way. And it's sad to say that, but at least what we do see is the kind of people that serving the Lord really serves Him with their hearts. And is aligned with His prophetic will. That means that, and I spoke about it the last time that I was here, is that, you know, for us to get unity in the body, it's not about drinking tea together, but it's to be aligned to what God is saying to us as the body. If each one of us can just align ourselves to what Christ is saying, then we will be unified as a body. Isn't it so? So, it's precious to see that God is busy and Jesus Himself is building His church. And there's a lot of fervent people and churches that all over the world at this stage that is coming closer to His heart. And we are just part of that body and part of the movement that God is busy raising up for the last days. And I'm excited to see what He's busy doing. So let's just stand quickly again. Are you awake still? Father, it's our desire tonight not to come to church because we must or because it's a good tradition, or, Father, even because we feel condemned to do so. But it's our heart's desire to really come back to what is the essence of this world and of this life that we are living. And that is to stand in Your presence. And tonight we recognize that even, Father, when we look at Israel and we look at, Father, all the ages, Father, they desire, Father, not to have Jewish culture and to do great things, Father, as a nation, but to not lose Your presence, not to offend You. And tonight we want to choose not to offend You. Father God, we want to be in Your presence day in and day out. We want to ask You, Jesus, help us to do so. Father, we as a church, we are begging You tonight, don't leave Your church. Don't forsake us. Keep to Your promises and bring every one of us in alignment to Your promises for this world and this time that we are living in. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Right. Have a seat. I must just make sure that you are awake tonight. Mark chapter 14, verse 3 to 9. I've spent some time with some of the MTP guys in your church, but also with some of the guys that came to the church planting weekend. And I shared some of these thoughts, and so tonight you'll hear it again. But it's awesome. It's things that God really stirs in my heart, but I know He's also corporately in our church busy saying this to us. Mark chapter 14, verse 3-9. And being in Bethany, this is now Jesus, at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured out it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, that this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Now, just quickly, Jesus was sitting in the leper's house, or then at this stage he was healed. He asked Jesus to come to his house, and Jesus was sitting with his disciples. But just to give you the context of what Jesus was experiencing and just the urgency in his heart, and I want to tell you, there's an urgency in the Spirit. The spiritual level is rising. Even in the times that we are living, I can tell you that the spiritual climate is rising. And this is the same time when Jesus was busy sitting with his disciples, having an intimate moment with them, even as they sat in this leprous house, or at this stage being healed, they communed together, and his disciples, his faithful disciples for more than 3 years, sat around the table with him, and he was teaching them some of the last things. Because this was about the Thursday just before the Friday that Jesus went to the cross. So on his heart, there was a lot of a deposit that Jesus wanted to leave with each one of his disciples. It was the time when there was an urgency in his heart that for once, just understand what I taught you for 3 years. So Jesus was sitting with his disciples now, and I want to remind you that this was also the time, as we know, the Passover on Good Friday. We know that according to the Hebrew tradition, this was a time when every family had to take a little lamb without spot or blemish and examine for more than 3 days to make sure that that little lamb doesn't have any broken leg or any blemish before they took it into Jerusalem to go and be slaughtered on the altar with the high priest. For their family and for the redemption of their sins, but also so that they can glorify their God. So now you can just imagine, this is now just before the lambs is coming by the hundreds, by the thousands into Jerusalem. And there's an expectation. That is probably the highlight of the Jewish calendar, when people came to Jerusalem. So Jesus came as well. So just before he went into Jerusalem, sitting down with them, amazing thing happens. This one lady, Mary, came to Jesus and she anointed him. And the rest of the disciples didn't understand what was happening. It was as if they were playing on a different board game. Chess, trying to play chess on a Monopoly game. Because they tried to reason out what was busy happening in the midst of Jesus now. And why Jesus could approve what was happening. And I can just tell you, you know, I see in Christian circles so many times this happen. Because we try to figure Jesus out rather than to understand that there's an agenda and a bigger scheme of things that Jesus wants us to understand, which Mary understood. And therefore Jesus said, "Mary is actually the one that understands exactly what is on my heart." within us as followers of Christ, when it comes to the things of Christ, we so often start to reason our way into the kingdom. I sat with a guy, and I told the story this morning as well. I think about 6-7 months ago, around the table there at Odemwillen, which is the little the piece of land that God, you know, blessed us with, and which we at this stage are just asking Him, what should we do? You know, should we develop it as church? Should we, you know, just do a commercial property development or whatever? And so he's the town, one of the town planners, and he said to me, you know what, this is actually much too expensive and, valuable piece of property for a church. Let's rather use it, you know, for things to make money for commercial use. And as I was sitting there, I thought to myself, this is actually, if I think just out of my own background, I went to study BCom, so I understand exactly, you know, how the business world operates. And I was thinking to myself that when it boils down to decision making, this is actually, you know, he's right. Except if God is now in our midst and He says, this is my property and I want to do something about it. And something dropped in my heart, because I can tell you one thing, that when it gets to the agenda of God, we cannot outreason God. There's no value to be put on a decision that you and I must make when we must decide, listen, we must go to Joburg because Jesus says so. I tell you, I was there a few weeks ago, and being a Cape Townian, or then at least, you know, from the Cape area, I struggle to find my head around the busyness of the Joburg culture. But I can tell you one thing. If God says that we must do anything, we should. And when it comes to being in that sweet spot of the agenda of God, we see things happening for us. And this is all about what Paul spoke about in Romans 7 and 8. When he says that even in the midst of understanding that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, we must be honest with ourselves that we are nothing. That there's only one thing in life that we must be honest with ourselves, that it's just when we follow the agenda of Christ and the prompting of the Holy Spirit that we can say that all things work together for our good because He loves us. But if we don't have a revelation of His love and His acceptance and contentment in our lives, you know what? We find ourselves where the disciples is at this stage, trying to prove themselves to Jesus, saying, no, 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 stop. You know, we can use this for good things, good things. And so often we do, as a church. We make decisions on being good people, but Jesus is not expecting us to be good people. He's expecting us to be God people. To understand that there's something of His heart that He wants to portray to the world, but His agenda is just much greater than ours. Sitting with His disciples, He's so frustrated, and you can hear even the fervency in which He says, leave her alone. I've got a problem with the way that you're thinking. So now, at this moment, I want to just say to you, you know, within our lives, there's a pendulum running. I went to Stellenbosch when I was a kid. I remember I had this one very fancy aunt that when we went to her house, there was this nice piano. And on this piano, there was a metronome. Do you know metronome? It's old-fashioned, but it's that thing that makes tick-tuck, tick-tuck, tick-tuck on the piano, which makes sure that you stay in rhythm. You know, when it gets to our lives, it reminds me of that metronome. The fact that when it gets to our ability and the way that we portray and make decisions in life, we must be honest with ourselves that the bottom half of the pendulum is always self. Making decisions to benefit my life, my calling, the way that I'm thinking and doing things, and I've got this great calling, and whoo, everyone must just help me to fulfill that calling. The two sides of the pendulum is the one of self-pity. I don't have what it takes. You know, I am just not good enough to do anything for God. Will I ever be able to get anything right? And still the bottom half, the center of this metronome, of this pendulum, stays self. Even though in the midst of self-pity, you must be honest with yourself that you are looking toward your abilities to fulfill life's calling. The other side of the pendulum is the one of arrogance. You know, I know what I should and can do, and I know how this Christianity things work, how it works, and I know how to go about and do my job at work. I'm so in control of my life. I got it sorted out. And then so often, the Holy Spirit just comes and He pulls that little mat underneath us. And we're like a golfer. I said this morning, trying to stay on the green, but every time that you hit the bush, you again remind yourself that you can't play golf. And this is how life works. You know, we get to a place where we just again must remind ourselves that you are not the bee's knees. Again, must just pull yourself out of the dumps and say, listen, whoa, no, I'm not that bad. I can actually do it through Christ that strengthens me. But you know what? When we can sort out the bottom half, the center of the pendulum, we can be honest with ourselves that it's only by Christ doing in our lives that we change and transform the world that we live in. And that's exactly what Paul said all the time. He said, listen, let's be honest. I'm a poor failure if it comes to Paul, but when I have Christ in me, I can do anything. And this is what Jesus says to His disciples, because at this stage, they don't understand what's on His heart, what's on His agenda, because if they did, they would have been aligned. That same evening, you know, they went to the Mount of Olives where they prayed. And Jesus prayed alone. And He was so frustrated with His disciples, and He said to them, just wake up. It's awesome stuff to be done. But you don't understand the fervency that's on my heart. Even our good friend Peter said, Jesus, don't you worry. I'll make sure that you are safe in the midst of the chaos of this world. I'll cut off any ear. I'll sort out anyone that comes against you, because I am in control of my life, and certainly I'll make sure to protect you. And still Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You don't understand the things that's on my heart. Peter, still you are not understanding what's on my heart. Peter, I'm not here to fight with anyone. I'm here to fulfill the agenda of the Father. And so, Jesus says to His disciples, she has done it to me, verse 6. She came to anoint me for the burial that I must go through. Understanding what He had to go through. And you know what was so special about this moment? It's what Jesus dealt with when Mary sat at His feet, when Martha had a problem with Mary. Her sister being in the kitchen complaining, why can she be at your feet while I must serve the people around you? I can tell you now, Jesus was never offended or cross even with Martha not being at His feet at that stage, but because she did not understand why He called her. She was comparing herself with what Mary was busy doing rather than to understand that I am exactly where God wants me to be. And so often we as Christians find ourselves fighting with those around us within church circles. We are so in competition with those who are trying to fulfill their life's calling that we are trying to align ourselves to their calling rather than to ask Jesus, Jesus, what is on your agenda? Let me be part of it. I'm not in competition with anyone here, but Jesus, I want to be obedient. If I must be in the kitchen, I'll be in the kitchen. It's a noble thing to do. It's not bad to be in the kitchen. But make sure that you are in the presence of Jesus, where He wants you to be. And so often we judge others according to their actions, and we judge ourselves according to our intentions. We must be honest with ourselves tonight, you know, even when it gets to the kingdom and the church, that we judge others according to what they do, but we say to them, you know, I didn't mean it that way. But you know what? You did this and this and this and this against me last year, and I can tell you even the date. I've written it down. I've got it on email. Are you with me tonight? So often we find ourselves in competition with one another, fighting with one another, having rivalry against the people of Christ. And we must be honest with ourselves. Christ just wants us to focus on His presence in our lives. This was the time also when Jesus then came into Jerusalem with Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. The palm branches thrown in front of Jesus on the donkey. People saying, this is surely the King of Kings. And still, those people made sums when it got to the cross to run away. And I can tell you, so often we run away as far as we can from the promises and the will of God just because it's too much. In the times that we are living now, I'm saying to you, you know what, to be in the presence of God will mean that you and I must do radical things for Christ. It's a blessing for me this year, our conference, and I want to really invite you to come. Because the main theme will be on watchmen and missions, which means those who stand in the gap for the truth of God. Those who watch out for us to see, you know, the things of God. And we are even, you know, getting people like Peter Hammond and Errol Naidoo, which is, in church circles, difficult people to bring to church to come and speak. Why? Because you don't have a lot of members left when they come to your church. Because they offend people with the truth. The reason why we are going so radical is to say that there's watchmen beyond even the church that's standing in the gaps, taking charge of the promises of Christ for these last days. And we must honor them for their fight. And I can tell you, it's time to see what God is busy doing, igniting into the passions of Jesus at this stage. And you'll see that He'll do wonderful things in our midst. But if you don't align yourself and get onto His page and His agenda, you'll be in His way. I remember a few years ago, you know, I was busy praying for the church, I think, and it was a few of our pastors together, and I saw this shekel, or what do you call it in English? Shekel. The shekel? Is that? Sickle. There you are. So I saw this sickle, is that right? You know, bringing in the harvest. And as this sickle went through the harvested fields of the corn coming in, I saw some limbs, you know, just going through the air. Blood and fingers, and I thought, yo, God, this is. And instantly, I
just felt in my spirit that God is saying that, you know what, when He's on a move, it's not a nice face to see. Because if you're in the way, it's not your fault, it's not, you know, God's fault, but there's going to be casualties. But make sure that you are part of the harvest and that you're part of what He's busy doing. I'm not saying tonight, you know what, God is a harsh God, and I'm saying to you, stay in line in the shelter of the Almost High, and you'll be safe. And this is the place that Mary, as a worshiper, came into. She did what she could in verse 8. She surrendered her possessions and her abilities to Jesus to glorify His name. The biggest sign of maturity that you and I can have in our Christian walk with Jesus is if we can understand what He called us to do, align ourselves according to that, and then be honest with ourselves that there's certain abilities that we will never have. There's certain places that God will never take us. I remember driving back from, and that was about, I think, you know, 15 years ago. I went to Angus Buchan on the farm. At that stage, you know, he was just a local evangelist in KwaZulu-Natal. And but I read his first book, that Faith Like Potatoes book, and I was so inspired. And I said to Fred at that stage, you know, I just want to go and catch what's going on there on the farm. And I went to him and spent an awesome weekend with him, just, you know, having impartation from him. And but I remember after the weekend, we drove back. He took me to the airport, and him and his brother at that stage, that then lived on the farm, they took me back to the airport. And as we drove, I remember him saying to me, "You see that shack, those shacks there, you see those poor people there, what did God call you to do?" Now, I was at that stage, you know, young in the ministry, very, Angus, you know, there's so many things that God is busy doing, you know, we're going to change the world, we're going to get everyone, you know, to be looked after, and we're going to do awesome things for Christ. And he stopped me and he said, "You know what, God did not call you to be the Savior of all. You must go and find out from Jesus what He has called you to do and align yourself to His promise for your life." And I want to say to you, you know what? Yes, there's a lot of need out there and there's awesome things happening. But you must align yourself to what God is busy doing and see your little place in that bigger scheme of things. That is exactly what Peter did. 2 Peter 1 verse 14. Later in his life, when Jesus already died, he wrote this letter, "Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me." Such a beautiful picture to me of a man, a mature man in Christ. He basically said, "I'm going to die because I fulfill that which Christ has called me to do. But I know that there's nothing more that I can do on this earth. I'm already finished with those things that He's called me to. I must go back to Jesus." Same thing happened to Paul. Acts chapter 20 verse 24. "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of grace of God." Paul always speaking about a race, a beginning and end, understanding that there's certain specific things that God had called him to do. We must align ourselves with that. Then lastly, what she has done will also be told. The eternal purpose that we connect ourselves to. I want to first of all say, when it gets to being on the agenda of Jesus, He will, through your obedience, exalt you in due season to do whatever He wants you to do. You know, if He wants to exalt you in front of, you know, people, then He will do so. But that doesn't matter. There's a place and a contentment that we find within Christ to understand that if we are part of His agenda, that brings satisfaction in our hearts. This was about the Thursday, say Wednesday, I can't say, but it was, you know, a few days before the death of Jesus. On that Friday, Jesus, on the third hour, you know, started His walk. He, on the ninth hour, He was, you know, He died on the cross, which for us now, if we today speak about the third hour, it means 3 hours after six, which is 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock being 3 o'clock the afternoon. So Jesus went through a lot of hardship on that day. But what was so awesome is actually, you know, what happened in the bigger scheme of things. Because at the offering altar, when Jesus died at the ninth hour, the curtain, you know, was torn in half. And there was provision for each one of us to have a direct relationship with God the Father. The lambs was not slaughtered on that day. Jesus became the high priest because the high priest tore his clothes when Jesus said that I am the Son of God. He tore his clothes, which meant in Jewish culture that he nullified his position as the high priest. So on that day, that year, there was not a high priest to bring any offering to the altar. There was no sacrifices on the altar. And the offering altar broke in pieces so that the perfect lamb could be slaughtered on the cross for each one of us for the redemption of sins. I can say to you, this is an awesome story that we know. But in the bigger scheme of things, for Mary, there would be no more satisfaction to understand and know that she was part of the anointing of the King of Kings for the destiny and purpose of eternity. I want to be part of eternity. I want to be part of God's eternal plan. And this is exactly what Jesus said to Mary. Mary, you don't understand what you're doing now, but let me tell you, there's some awesome things that's in your heart that's aligning with mine, and that is what excites me. We should not get excited about numbers in church and get excited about awesome, you know, songwriting and awesome stuff happening in the church of God today. We must ask ourselves, are we aligned with His heartbeat all over the world? Because if we are, we will see ourselves fulfilling eternity. But there was one man, and this is the crux of this story, where I want to bring you tonight. There was one man in the group of Jesus' disciples called Judas, and we all know what he did to Jesus. But what was so evident was the plan in his mind at this stage. Now, I want to again just ask a Bible tonight. Do you have a Bible for me? Because I want to take you back to chapter 14. If you maybe can get it on the screen. I don't know if you guys can, but just take us back to verse 10 of Mark chapter 14. I don't have it on the screen, I presume. Just turn with me to Mark chapter 14. I've read verse 9. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, that what she has done will also be told as a memory of her. And listen to verse 10. Then Judas Iscariot. So then means then after what she did. Judas Iscariot, this was his reaction, being indignantly exposed. One of the 12 went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Now people, this is before I steal this Bible. This is for me such an example of, you know, just our own hearts that we must protect when we're around Jesus. when we get exposed around his agenda. Because when it gets to Judas, for 3 years, he walks the road with Jesus. He sees all the miracles, and he cannot deny that this man has some supernatural strength. You know, there's something extraordinary to this man, Jesus. He cannot deny the truths that Jesus spoke into himself and into so many around him. When Jesus was busy formulating actually the gospel as we know it today. For 3 years, he was in a community of believers where he was safe to even make any mistakes that was possible, like Peter, and be corrected. And still, he was making sums in his mind about this Jesus. I'm not going to go down with Jesus. I'm not going to walk this road of humility together with these disciples that's so faithful to him. To say the least, I don't know if he's really the Son of God. I must be honest with myself that, you know, when it gets to Jesus, he's cool, and there's a lot of awesome stuff that happened. And for 3 years, I was taken care of by Jesus. But I must be honest with myself, when the pawpaw hits the fan, I'll be the first to run. For 3 years, he made the sums, and when it got to the point where he was confronted, his heart was exposed, and he chose the familiarity of the world. The fact that there was people that were recognized, you know, the high priest and the priest and all the guys that's in society, the decision makers, and they, you know, are the guys that everyone listened to and that get the direction or give direction to people, but I'll rather follow their prompting and be... Are you with me tonight? Because so often, I can tell you that when it gets to Jesus, we are confronted by the agenda of the Father God that nobody understands around us, and we don't understand God, but one thing we do understand, being in his presence is awesome. To be in contentment with him, you always see the results, but not first and beforehand. You must wait and see his perfect plan come to fruition. And so Mary said that I'll give anything. You know, they can say that I'm a fool. Even his greatest disciples, I must be honest, that they, you know, can be so cool with Jesus. But I rather do what I feel and be prompted by the Holy Spirit to do the work of God than to be famous, to follow the crowd. I'll do what God wants. This is an old story, but I can tell you one thing. That when it gets to Judas, that we are probably as guilty. It's a very safe life that we are living. I'm, to be honest, tonight with you, when I say to you, you know, if Jesus said to me tonight, go to Joburg or to go to, you know, PE or go to wherever, it will be a very difficult decision. Because I make sums around Jesus all the time. I make sums around his agenda all the time. And so did Judas, John chapter 12, which is just a parallel of the same story. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. You know what? What's so evident to me if I go through the Bible, that this is an old story, actually, because you see it so many times in the Bible. There was a young son that was with his father. And he was on the one side of the pendulum. I know it all. I've got new methods, my father's methods here on the farm. You know, it's just not up to scratch. You know, I know better. I know greater things to come.
I'll go to the city. I'll go and do my own thing. I'll go and just build my empire. But then on the other side of the pendulum, there's the son staying at home, feeling sorry for himself because the father never recognizes him. Father never sees him. He's like the Martha in the kitchen. The one always complaining and always have some other, you know, excuse not coming to the party. Some other excuse not experience that Romans 8 principle of God working everything together for the good for those who he loves. Just some other excuse not of fulfilling God's purpose and destiny. And then the father says, come back, my son. At least you have the honesty with yourself to say that you can't do anything without me. Come back home. I want to have you with me. I want to have you as close to me as possible. Because if you can fulfill my agenda, you'll be safe. If you are safe in the house, if you are safe in the place of my promises, then my provision will be there with you. And then he so longed for that older brother to just recognize that Father, it's not about myself. I'm trying to prove myself, but it's got nothing to do with the fact that you just want me to be your son. I want to say to you, Jesus is saying to Peter, you don't understand it. It's not about doing great and awesome stuff. It's about my presence. And I want to tell you through the ages what was so beautiful about the picture. And actually, when I get back to you guys, I want to speak about this. It's just the presence of Israel and the mourning after the presence of God, saying that God, like Moses, we can do without anything and we can, you know, but without your presence, we cannot do anything. Just teach us your presence. And I can tell you, you know what? When Jesus left, he said, you know why I should leave? Because you'll have the presence of God that I'm representing now, that I'm portraying to you, the stories that I'm telling you, the truths that I'm... You can have it every day. You can have it every moment of the day in your life. You can have the agenda of the Father every day in your life. You can understand and be aligned to what God has called you to every day of your life. If you don't understand that, then Peter, we have a problem. Because Peter, you want to fight fights and you want to do awesome things for me, but that's not the point. Get aligned to the agenda of God. Let's just stand tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, tonight we want to come into your presence. And Father, we want to recognize that, oh Father, so often we miss you. Father, so often we, and tonight we are so easy to judge and say, Father God, that Judas missed you and Peter missed you. And Father, we can be so honest with ourselves in saying that so often we judge people in the church trying to fulfill your purpose. Father, even the pastor, we want to, Father, tell all kinds of stories about what he's not fulfilling. But Father, still tonight we must be honest with ourselves in saying that no excuse will be enough, Father, to be in the back garden while the party is going on. We want to be part of the party. We want to be in your presence. We want to celebrate your agenda. Father, there's more than enough space for any and every one of us to fulfill that which you have called us to do. Father, there's more than enough opportunities for all of us to fulfill your kingdom, Father. Tonight, just align us to be part of that. Just align us to lay down ourselves and not always... Father, judge the church and the people in the church, and Father, those who are trying at least. But tonight we recognize, Father, that we are so filthy like Martha, Father God. We are so filthy like Jesus. And still we tonight must recognize that Paul was right all along, and that when he's weak, you are so strong within him.
And tonight, Father, we want to say that we are strong within You, Father. That there's nothing that can hinder us to get closer to You. There's no thing that can divide us from the love that You have for us. There's no way that we will not be able to understand Your agenda and fulfill it. Oh God, we know that You have a desire to give us the revelation of the promises of life. You want to give us the keys of the fulfillment of the promises of this world. And oh God, tonight I pray in Jesus' name that You will raise up a Gideon's army, Father, to really stand up and, Father, take this city for God. Father, that we will be able to really stand in the gap and say that we are the watchmen. We are the people that stand for the promises of God, for the agenda, no matter the cost. And tonight we want to be like Mary, Father God, putting all of our, Father God, assets, all of our, Father God, all the things that we have here on earth, Father, we want to put it on the table and say, God, there's nothing that can and must divide us. Let us just follow the prompting of Your heart's beat in our lives. Let us be at that perfect place of peace, that place of contentment where Mary was when she sat at Your feet and understood that within days You will go to the cross. You will go and be the blood to speak to all the ages of the freedom that we should partake in. Father, that made her to not just fulfill destiny, purpose, and Father God, eternity, but that made her to understand Your heart, Your heart's beat. Father, I pray tonight that we will be able to hear Your heart's beat. Make our hearts, Father God, just bounce, just tick with the things that tick You. Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus that not one of us in this building tonight will leave this place without being honest with You. I pray that Your relationship with us will just grow within us. Father, even though our characters are not always strong enough, Father, to make the decisions necessary, tonight at least we want to be recklessly obedient, saying, God, do with us as You did with Mary. Touch her heart. Be able to give up everything that was dear to her. Follow Your prompting in the name of Jesus. As we keep our eyes closed, we're not playing church. We're not fooling ourselves. Tonight, Jesus and His presence is here. You know, when He says that two or more gathered, He will be there. You know, He's not lying. He's here in our midst. And He wants to really tell you tonight that you are all right. He wants to tell you that He really loves you very much. And it's just time not to feel condemned, but actually to get so excited about seeing the revelation of His promises in your life and just start to react on it. If you are here tonight and you are either side of the pendulum, I want to ask all the believers to pray. If you are here tonight and you know that you are, maybe you are standing at the side of arrogance, even at your workplace, you know it all. There's no skill that people can tell you of. It's as if you're blinded to the people even around you because you are so fulfilling your own life's calling that you've missed the point. Maybe you stand here tonight and you are just on the other side of the pendulum. You just feel like so not ready. But tonight Jesus wants to just minister to your heart. I really believe that He has a desire to bring each one of us to the revelation of His presence. That is you tonight. Just raise your hand where you stand. Just quickly. There's a few hands already. Just quickly. Because tonight I want to just part of that giving up self, I want to ask you to give up yourself, actually. Just to say, Jesus, this is the first step in the right direction. I want to actually get to the point where I can step out and be obedient to you. That is you. Just there was a few hands, but I want to ask you, if you're here tonight, you feel the Holy Spirit is prompting your heart now, just quickly raise your hand. Actually, I want to ask you to be very bold tonight, just as a memorial stone in your life. Just come to the front, because I want to just pray with you, and I want to ask the facilitators tonight just to pray with you, so that this will be a stepping stone. This is not even a new beginning. This is a stepping stone toward dying to self. Just walk into that place of being a worshiper, a Mary. So if you've raised your hand, just quickly come to the